isolating the student from his or her peers. It is actually something that I attempt to preemptively avoid when we talk about the student. It's not just their present levels, but also their feelings, emotions, and the environment. If they're in an environment where they are receiving peer pressure, that's something you discuss at that point in time. So when you're identifying the tools that match the student's needs, you take that into consideration. So for example, many of our high incidence students who struggle with reading and writing, we can implement two programs with word prediction, with text-to-speech and speech-to-text. Both of those tools are just a small extension that is added to their Chromebook. So a lot of the tools already have taken that into consideration, where they try to make it look a little more universally designed for everyone so that the student doesn't stand out. At the same time, there are some communication devices the size of a cell phone. So when the student actually has the ability to isolate their finger and use the small buttons, I often get a student a smaller communication device so that they don't stand out from their peers, so that they look socially appropriate. I would say addressing whether AT is isolating the student is preemptively done. But then again, at every single IEP, all the team members sit down at the IEP and discuss, is this assistive tech working? Is it not? If the assistive tech isn't working, then maybe it's time to trial something else. The assistive technology process is fluid. So if you try something, data shows it's working, you implement it, and then it starts to fail, you have to come back as an IEP team and say, well, either we didn't train people appropriately, or this wasn't the right assistive technology to support the student's needs. And you have to sit down and see if there's a better technology out there to support the student. It really has to be a continual and fluid process.